I don't think so. Do we have liftoff? Oh, now you're nodding your head. Nice announcer.
You're on the air now.
Fine.
Sorry.
Well, Katie Couric is the commencement speaker today at the University of Wisconsin graduation, where you should be.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Mark. How are you feeling?
And
I'm good. A little tired.
Wait a minute.
Great news. Everything.
No, 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 no. That's not it. That's not the cue. Back it up. You're jumping the gun there, mister.
This is the excitement of
heard that one before, haven't you? Okay. Is it queued up again? Can, let me sell this again, and we'll take this out of the whole tape. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Katie Couric is the commencement speaker today at the University of Wisconsin graduation. Katie is pushing the envelope with Dr. Oz as she has an actual colonoscopy for graduation at Camp Randall. Let's listen in.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, Mark.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. A little tired.
Great news. Everything's perfect. I did find a few things, though. I was surprised. And one thing was this duster. I don't know what this was doing there. Batman was in there. And then the last thing, what this is, lipstick?
Lipstick. I've been looking everywhere for that lipstick.
Okay, well, her lipstick. What do you know?
Live from the Monono Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Wisconsin foodie host Kyle Cherik, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who, due to budget cuts in public broadcasting, had his not much cut, but still has you, Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Now it's much you. Okay, then. Best part of the ceremony is the valedictorian gets to pull his diploma out of Katie's Couric. Okay, anyhow, that goes on the wall. I'll tell you, that one goes on the wall.
That'll be on the wall.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be on the
definitely
wall. Speaking of graduation, kids, if you're one of the hundreds or possibly thousands who ended up just one lousy credit short of graduation, as a function of the UW-Wisconsin Extension, we want you to know, What Do You Know is certified. The What Do You Know quiz is one credit. So have a good one. And you get a bottle of Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim's people. So now the world is truly your cup of oysters. Good luck, kids. Have a good one. In all the news that isn't, Mitt Romney last two rounds against Evander Holyfield. Next up, it's Romney versus Mayweather. Financial analysts rate them about even. Floyd is a little more diversified. Excuse me. Where was I? Oh, Hillary drops Bill from the ticket. Right. Thanks. The way you sneaked under there, they never even saw that coming. How did that end up on his desk again? That was actually... Thank you. Where was I? Yeah, Bill. Okay. Jeb Bush would have invaded Iraq. Neil Bush says he's in. Dorothy Bush, big yes. Robin Bush, count me in. Marvin Bush wouldn't miss it for the world. Kyle Bush, no-brainer. Not actually part of the family, but he just wanted to. Reggie Bush, as long as he doesn't have to go, he's in. Billy Bush says he's a lacrosse player, but what the hell? Rapper Sammy Bush says he's up in it. I think that means a yes.
All up in it?
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, it could be.
I guess that's good.
Okay. Yeah. Russian porn star Helena Bush gives it a big, couple of big da's.
What?
Da.
But no, that's okay. You don't have to go back.
Da, da. That's my reputation of a Russian,
she's Russian
porn star. I don't know. It's not good, but I'm working on it. I got to diversify myself. Kristen Bush, who played Rachel in Good Wife, she needs the work, so she's in. Johnny Bush. And Johnny Bush, finally, Johnny Bush has written the fight song to the tune of his song, What Made Milwaukee Famous. That's it for Beating the Bushes on a Rock, ladies and gentlemen. Those are all the Bushes we could find. Oh, the Bush Beans guy. I think the Bush Beans guy is probably in. But.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yeah. We get the dog to talk, we'd find out. In other news, George Zimmerman shot in the head, so he's fine. It merely entered his brain and out. Verizon buys AOL to sew up the cell dial-up market. You've got meh. Tom Brady looks like he's had all the air squeezed out of him. Well, this will give him more time. He's got a supermodel girlfriend. This will give him more time, four games to spend some time with her. They require a lot of care, these supermodels, wives and things. I didn't marry one, but that's what I hear. An increasing number of Americans do not pick up the phone when Jesus is calling. Okay. Only 11 accidents so far with self-driving cars, but all are the result of driverless road rage. And artificial intelligence is a lot like ours now. It's amazing. And actually, a lot of what we thought were driverless cars actually were urban youth low-riding. So it skews the results. Okay. I'm personally waiting for the self-insuring car. I think that's going to be the big breakthrough. Vatican recognizes Palestine will establish a gift shop. This keeps going in and out.
Good thing we got a new battery.
Yeah. Wisconsin's Russ Feingold will try to recover his Senate seat, but can't decide on leather or something a little more breathable. And would you really want a seat that Ron Johnson's been sitting on for 5 years? I really don't think so. I'd get a new one. With the departure of Harry Shearer on The Simpsons, Charles Koch has signed on for Mr. Burns. His brother David will be Waylon Smithers. Donald Trump will, of course, voice God. And a surprise pick, Bill Cosby, the new principal Skinner. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. That was exactly my reaction. Crowd, ooh. Exercise will give older Americans another 5 years, but for what? Turns out even bad coffee is good for you. Did you read that? Drink as much coffee as possible. No, it's good for you. Yeah, even like Folgers Crystals has 100 times more antioxidants than Oxidol. I think that's what it said. I wrote this down in a hurry. If you're drinking too much coffee, you can always take prooxidants, you know, get rid of something. Everyone's so antioxidant. I get tired.
I don't get that. I'm right in the middle myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Riding that oxidant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like to go back and forth.
On the oxidant fence?
I'm pro-oxidant, and then sometimes I'm anti. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good that you can talk about it. Now, just shut up.
Sorry.
Okay. No, that's quite all right. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Rick Perry has until June 4th to find his glasses for a really big announcement. There's no lenses in his glasses. Someone's got to tell him that. I don't know who sold him that pair. You know, online or something. You know. God, look how clearly, as clear as a crystal, these things. Ramadi province in Iraq is now a red state. Okay. International news. You got to keep up on all this stuff. Don't judge. A Russian rocket with a Mexican satellite crashes in Siberia. Would have thought a Russian rocket with a Mexican satellite couldn't miss. Nice to know that, you know, those Russian rockets. All those years, all those missiles pointed at us would have landed on them if they fired us. Good thing to know. President Obama calls a Gulf conference and only two guys from Gulfport show up. What a year he's having. Former Governor Scott Walker. Well, he's been away a lot. Go ahead, try saying it to yourself. It sounds pretty. Former Governor Scott Walker denied a visa to return to Wisconsin. And thanks to concussions, all is forgiven between Brett Favre and the Packers. And as far as, you know, the cuts to public radio and such, you know, you've probably been following that broadcasting. Those big Walker cuts have been partially restored for manure runoff and Wisconsin public broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen. So we're pretty excited about that. It wasn't so bad, really. They only cut the L out of public radio. Oh, wait. Oh, that's not good. That's all the news that is. Thank you so much. Back to your homes now and graduate if you must. Aren't all your friends graduating now? And did you buy the cap and gown?
Paid big money for that cap and gown.
And then what happened at the last minute? You had relatives coming to town?
They wanted to come see you instead.
Instead of seeing Katie Couric get a colonoscopy at Camp Randall? I would have paid to get in than that. Would have paid to get out, too, but to get in would have been just amazing just to be there. Kyle, where are you? Come on up here. Ladies and gentlemen, Wisconsin foodie, host, and man about town, Kyle Cherick. A man who knows all there is about what he knows about.
Do I put these on?
I don't know. You're on the air, aren't you?
I'm on the air, but...
Don't you wear those when you're on the air?
Well, I've never taken them off an ostrich before.
That's an emu.
I've never taken them off
an emu
either.
That's right, you're a foodie, you're not an animal-y.
No, I'm not an animal-y. Okay. Oh, you're so much louder.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, you don't really need them if you don't want to. Take your glasses off.
I feel more...
See what you look like. Those are nice frames, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, put them back on.
Yeah, right.
How are you, man?
I'm good.
Wisconsin Foodie is a major hit. You were Emmy nominated, and you're all over the place, and it's going pretty good.
It's working out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very pleased. We're grateful.
I've never been nominated for anything.
You've got to enter to win. It's like I tell my my brother, who doesn't like to spend money on lottery tickets. You've got to enter to win, buddy.
Is your brother a foodie, too, or is he more of an ED?
He's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah. He married a what we would call a home gourmand. And
that's
so
a man? He married a man?
No.
Isn't that the male?
What would it be? What would the feminine be? Gourmandi?
Gourmet.
Gourmet. Correct?
No, yeah. That is so sexist. I'm taking back that joke right now. I'm rude.
We know that we're on public radio because we can use the big words.
Okay, go ahead, use a few. What were you going to say?
In any event, he married
a gourmand.
That's
so
right.
So he had to live up to it.
Yes. And I think a lot of those things have worn off or rubbed off on him in the best ways.
You know, they wouldn't be so bad, those gourmands, if they wouldn't talk about it or say anything when you're eating something that you're enjoying, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know where these truffles came from kind of thing when you're...
Truffles? Who's
right.
Truffles?
Well,
the chocolates. You mean the chocolate truffle?
No, but those are based on the original truffles.
If pigs could find chocolate truffles, I'd be with it 100%, because they're good.
But then we couldn't use dogs, which are better truffle hunters, because, of course, chocolate is bad for dogs. Everyone knows that.
But, you know, you yourself must be the first gourmand ever to come out of Milwaukee, because I can't think of anybody else.
Sandy D'Amato. Come on. He's one of the most famous chefs of the American canon.
Yeah, but he's not a regular guy. I mean, you're a regular guy, right? I mean, just someone like a Wisconsin citizen, Milwaukee.
If you want to frame it up that way, sure, I'll take that.
I've never thought of myself as
I'm not a chef.
You were never a chef?
Never a chef. I have carried things to tables as a profession.
So this should be Wisconsin busboys.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, I overbid. I started out as a host, and then they said, you know what, you'd be much better carrying things than clearing tables.
Well, how did you acquire your vast knowledge of, like, chefs and cookery and foods and that sort of thing?
Yeah, just hanging around the right people.
But maybe I should have them on.
I said to your producer when I got the email. Are you sure?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is going very good. And then the show itself, like, you go around Wisconsin and a lot of places.
We cover Wisconsin and perhaps soon further points. But as our previous Secretary of Tourism told us, not the one that's part of the Walker administration, when we first started the show, we're happy to support it. And she was jesting, but she said, we're happy to support it, but if you cross the border, I'll kill you.
But you did. You went to New York.
That's right. Yeah, well, that was after, that's once, you know, the administration changed. So we felt safe in that.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's in Israel doing it.
Yeah, well, right. We didn't get any of those.
It's not really Gourmand.
We didn't get any of those state tax dollars to go to New York as he did.
No.
Our airfare was not covered.
Okay, well, let me ask you some questions here about places you've been. If I want cheese in Thorpe.
If you want cheese in
where
Thorpe,
do I go?
I would go to the cheese shop in Thorpe.
Ah, interesting choice. What makes you say that?
As my grandmother would say, if it hurts, don't do that. If you're hungry, eat something.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean Holland's?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Holland's family cheese? What do you like about it?
I like Marieke.
You like what?
I like Marieke, her Gouda. Her Gouda is fantastic. It's internationally award-winning.
It looked like the real deal, too, because I saw a picture of it. Because we had the international winner.
Right.
Danish Gouda, whatever it was. And it's a big wheel.
Well, that's how they make
it. Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and this looked like the real deal.
It is. Well, that's the crazy thing about cheese right now, particularly in Wisconsin, is that we have so many near genius artisanal cheesemakers. They didn't used to call them artisanal. They just called them cheesemakers.
What does artisanal actually mean? It's like gourmand.
It just adds about $12 per pound. but we're in the international competitions in cheese, which there are. It's like the Olympics, but they have them more frequently.
Yeah.
They keep winning in these European styles, and the Europeans are pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can he say that?
I just did.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's on staff here, so this is very handy.
The Brits, really. You're a content manager and ombudsman, is that right?
Yes, yeah. And announcer.
Yeah, and
he
announcer.
And he sweeps up later, too. He's
good
great.
God.
So
I do it all.
All right, so is that their big
That's their thing.
You've had their Gouda?
It's exquisite.
Exquisite?
Exquisite.
Describe it. Come on, you're a foodie.
I would say that it opens up with a buttery softness. Then there's a little piquant. Sense of brightness leading towards that's right. Look it up. Somebody look it up in the control room.
How do you spell it?
Yeah. Finishing off with subtle woody notes.
That's what she said. Okay. No, that's very good. And then
No.
Did you just pun or was that just you just descended into
I always say
middle,
that when I don't know what to say. It's
into middle school humor.
Reaction. It's not middle school. All right.
Early high school.
The opening jokes were
great. What is seventh grade? Is seventh grade middle school? I don't know. I guess it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. And who are the people that run it there?
Marieke? Marieke, yes. And her family.
And her family.
Yeah.
Is she the actual cheesemaker?
She is the actual cheesemaker.
Beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's good. Now, I'm looking for some bacon.
Sure, that's great. I can hook you up after the show. I've got
I'm going around Wisconsin. I'm driving just to eat.
Yeah.
Really good stuff and stuff. And where would I go?
You start with Newski's and you end with Newski's.
Yeah. Start and end with Newski's.
Absolutely.
Is there a Newski in Newski's?
There is a Newski in Newski's. When we filmed the show, we were toured around by Tanya Newski, who I think is second or third generation.
Of the Newski's?
Of the Newski's.
Have they always been in bacon?
I believe they have.
Okay.
Yeah. Although they let me sort of finish off a ham, you know, they do that great sugar
coating. You and you're finishing off.
I know,
this is really.
And they gave
you know what I'm going to say if you keep doing it.
Well, it's your show.
Yeah.
So they are also in ham. They're in bacon and ham.
Oh, and ham.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said hemp.
No. I mean, they may be, but not that I'm aware of. I haven't checked the website.
You know what website. They're smoking out there at Newski's.
Right.
You know what they're smoking at Newski's. That would be my motto.
That's true. Everything is smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have they smoked anything unexpected at Newski's?
I don't believe so. No, there was okay. When we toured the plant or the factory, whatever the right term is for where you smoke things, and then package the smokery. Yeah,
well, the French have a word for it, I'm sure. Right.
Everything was it was very because they have that codified flavor, so everything was very methodical.
Yeah,
and it's got to be that Newski's taste, right?
Yeah,
even though you're making
it's the smoking, isn't it?
They cut it thick, and it's the cherry wood in the smoke.
Cherry wood.
Yeah. In fact, when we came with our cameras, the plant manager would not. I mean, she body blocked us when we were going to come around the corner with our cameras to shoot the smokers, and it was verboten. No.
Couldn't show the smokers, but
this is how we do it.
But she told you it was cherry wood, so
that's
what's
right.
The big deal?
Well, it's on the label.
It's on the label.
So recalcitrance on that
with the
fact
labels,
was not
the labels in there too.
That's
probably
not the time. Yeah.
You know what that means? There's something else in there besides cherry wood.
What is it?
Why would I know? I don't know. I'm saying if they barred you
from...
Oh,
probably, yeah.
You know, it's more than just cherry wood.
Highly likely. This emu is really soft.
Yes, you can throw it. Just throw it away. It's really not even real, see?
Oh, look at that.
Look at this. Look at that. Doesn't hurt it.
I was expecting on your show like an enormous rubber chicken.
Wrong show. Wait, don't tell me they did the rubber chicken.
You do have the
Wintermobile
here.
I'm in Bailey's Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
How did
you enjoy your Door County vacation?
I love Door County, you know.
Yeah.
And Bailey's Harbor is the place to go for food, right?
Sure.
And foodstuffs. Where do you go in Bailey's Harbor?
Well, when we go to Door County, we eat at a few special places. We always go to the Wickman House.
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
It's good. Pricey, but good.
Yeah, but come on, it's beautiful. It delivers on every level.
Oh, that sounds like an endorsement. I see why they all like you out there.
It used to be this great fine dining place called T. Aswell's, and that chef was he had great acumen with food, but he couldn't keep the business going. And then these two young guys came in.
Yeah, no guy who worked there before in his previous.
It was great then too. Yeah. But these two young guys came in and they revived it, and they've got an amazing staff and this terrific chef, and we were doing a little Door County junket a couple of summers ago, and they had us up, and on the way there we kept we got a little lost. We ended up picking up their dishwasher, who was walking with his dog to
the machine or the
the actual guy with his dog named Old Berm. You can't make this up.
Old Berm, yeah.
And they just leaped in the back of the car, and we dropped them off. Anyway, they had
they
us in.
They both leaped, isn't that
Yeah,
cute?
They did, they
the
did
dog
both leap.
Both
yeah.
leaping.
Yeah.
In the
car. Well, he was sort of like a wood sprite or something. They just kind of came out of the bushes, and we're hitchhiking. Anyway.
And then what happened?
And we took them to work, and we were in to get a little tour and a tasting before service, meaning before they were open. Mm. And we had, my fiance and I, had the single best burger we had that year. Mm. And this is a better dining place, but their burger just nailed it. Anyway, then we got a tour of the restaurant, and we got back to the dish pit and said, hey. And the whole staff said, how do you know him? We're like, well, we gave him a ride to work. Mm.
Great story. Okay, now...
I was hoping you could say
up
that. I gave
Bayfield,
you so much material.
We've been up in Bayfield a bunch of times, and I guess you go to the same place we do in Bayfield because, you know, not saying there's not a lot of choices. There's not a lot of choices.
Yeah, wild rice. You got to go.
The wild rice.
Mary Rice. Yeah.
Mary Rice.
Yeah.
She's quite amazing.
She is quite amazing. Yeah. And then.
She could be a restaurateur like anywhere in the world, really.
Anywhere.
And she's in Bayfield on the edge of Lake Superior.
She fell in love with it as a little girl, and that's where she wanted to bring great food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Big Top Chautauqua and all of that.
Yeah.
And then you take the ferry over to Madeline Island and get a drink at Frank's Burnt Down, where the best sign in the world.
Yeah.
As you walk up, it says, you're in Wisconsin now. Be nice.
I must have missed that sign.
Oh, it's directed at the Minnesotans that come over.
Oh, okay, yeah. The burnt down, yes.
I mean, the temerity of someone who has a tavern, it burns down, but then, no, let's stay open and just change the name to Frank's Burnt Down.
I know, tell it to the zoning people.
Right.
Tell it to the zoning people. They're not all that happy about it. In Door County, you got to mention Nelson's Bitters up there in Washington Island.
That's right. That's
right. Those guys are nice. Talk about nice.
I have the thumb stamp card. You know, if you go and you drink a bitter, and then the bartender puts her thumb into the shot glass and stamps the card and signs it that you've been to Nelson's Bitters.
Yeah. How many thumbs do you have to get for free bitters?
I don't know. I mean, see? I can't. More than a shot glass.
No one's ever gotten more than one thumb, I'll tell you that.
Well, when we were on our way up there, someone was insisting that the ferry captain, the previous ferry captain, who lived to be 90-something, drank a pint of bitters a day.
Is that right?
Yeah, which I think is just unconscionable.
Yeah.
I mean, they're bitters, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never could figure it out, but it's really cool that they do it.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know,
there's a big market for bitters in mixed drinks and so forth.
They hold the accommodation of the largest bitter sales in the world from the guys that make them in Jamaica. They have this trophy that they sent them.
Is that right?
Yeah. So during Prohibition, they hired a fancy attorney to go down and you know, you could sell like medicinal, right? You could sell spirits and so forth if you had a medicinal license during Prohibition.
Yeah.
And so they hired this fancy attorney, and he went down and he said, you know, this is what they want to do. And the judge supposedly poured a glass of it, or the attorney poured a glass for the judge, and the judge had one sip, and he said, absolutely improved. Nobody would ever take advantage of this.
Yeah.
And then they used to sell it by the pints to all the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get their buzz.
There's
on.
No alcohol in it. That's amazing.
There's a little bit. There's a little bit. But it's mostly just
you gotta drink a lot of it. That's
right. Yeah.
Okay, nice guys. Let's say I'm in the Kickapoo Valley.
Yeah, you go for the coffee.
coffee.
Kickapoo coffee.
Kickapoo coffee. Tell me about it. What's special about Kickapoo coffee?
It's the micro lots and they're small roasters and Caleb that roasts it. It's just fantastic stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Do they grow it out there?
No. They get it. They source it from all
they got
over
apple trees. I know. That's right. They might have coffee
that's
growing
right.
in the shade of apple trees. That'd be
if they do, I'm not aware of it. Yeah.
Well, then they don't.
Right.
That's what you're saying, right?
I don't know. Well, coffee, it's funny because they call it a tree, but it actually looks like a bush. I still can't figure out. They only grow three feet high. Why would you call it a tree?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a bonsai of a...
I'm not into food like you are.
Of buzzy beans.
Quinces. You say quinces.
Quinces
and apple.
That's right.
Right here in Madison.
Right here in Madison.
I haven't been there, but tell me about
you
this.
You can buy it most easily at Fromagination. Just walk around the square here.
What is it?
Yeah, they're great preserves and fruit flavorings, but primarily jams and preserves.
Jams and preserves?
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Cool. Lovely couple.
Yeah, and where is that?
What do you mean?
I mean, where is that? How ambiguous is that? Where is it physically located?
Oh, where do they produce? Somewhere.
No, where is, if I'm going there, I want to know where it is.
Fromagination or Quince and Apple?
Quince and Apple.
Quince and Apple. I don't think they have their own store. I think you can only buy it
through
stores. Why is
it not here?
I don't know.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
So just look for it.
That's why I was flummoxed by your question.
You know what I like? It was this community farm in Elkhorn. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, is it actually like a communal farm?
I have no idea. I don't think I've been there. I don't know where you got that
from. Did they tell
you
we're going to have you on the air?
They told
or do
me,
you have no idea?
They told me we were going to talk baseball.
What do I have to say? The Brewers. There, that says it all.
Yeah.
Lot Fottle.
It means the fat of the land.
Oh,
the expression,
cool.
You'll live off the fat of the land.
Oh, live off the fat of the land.
Correct.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
cool,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was Latvian or something.
I don't know if it's German. I don't know the...
And what goes on Lotfaddle?
It's a CSA, so they grow vegetables and so on and so forth, and then they sell them through community shared agriculture. So
cool.
Yeah, you would buy, you get a box of whatever's in season once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Manja in Kenosha, I've been there. That place is great.
Oh, Manja is terrific.
He's good.
Tony Montuano was so good. And
and
our buddy Jason Gorman, who's the exec chef there now, Wisconsin boy. We just saw him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's so talented. Yeah.
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 And they do new things there.
Yeah.
That's really, I mean,
yeah. No, Manja
new things
is,
they never will eat again.
If you're driving to Chicago, pull off, make a point, go to Manja. It's terrific.
Yeah, or don't even go to Chicago.
Or
why
don't
would
even
you do
go
that?
To, right,
go to
right.
Kenosha.
Just go to Kenosha.
Kenosha needs the business more than Chicago.
They do, and pull up to the water and say, same lake.
Right. And closer.
And closer.
Same lake, but closer. That's what I would do for Kenosha, for instance.
Yeah.
And then finally, let's do one Milwaukee here, Larry's Market in Milwaukee. What's special about Larry's Market in Milwaukee?
They were the first market to bring fancy foods way back in the 50s, things that we take for granted now, like Perrier and croissant, things like that. They were the first ones to ever have it in the state. And what they did
Larry travel a lot or something? Did he come back?
I don't know where. I don't know how he got turned on to all that stuff. His children still carry it on. They're the owners. And they are a national, if maybe international, tastemaker shop within artisanal, there's that word again, cheeses.
Yeah.
Yeah, what Larry's, what they buy and what they decide to stock changes the market to a certain extent.
You're saying Larry's in Milwaukee affects the world market?
In cheese, certainly nationally, yeah. It's on the same level as, say, a Murray's cheese in New York.
No kidding. No,
I would not kid about that.
That's astounding.
Yeah, they're the real deal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do they get a pound for that?
It depends on which cheese.
Is there one there that you like in particular?
Well,
you're not just strictly a Gouda man.
No.
You're artisanal and all.
Yeah,
that.
Right.
So
exactly.
What do you like?
Well, who doesn't love a Hook's 12 year with those great crystals in there or the rush?
Sure, I would. But what is it?
What
are the crystals?
It's a terrific cheddar that then once it's stored for over the years and starting at about.
Oh, I've had that one.
Yeah,
time.
About 10 or 12 because the moisture leaves the cheese. And then these little salt crystals.
It, like, petrifies or
correct.
Something.
Correct. Yeah, on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's still edible. It's not petrified.
Yeah,
don't scare the people away.
For someone who's not into that daring, or maybe later, but where would you start them with something that'll knock their socks off?
I'd go with any of the Hooks. I mean, their five-year is fantastic. Start there.
A five-year Hook?
A five-year Hook of cheddar.
And Hook, of course, means
it's Tony Hooks.
Oh, Tony Hooks.
Tony Hooks. Yeah, there's their last name. In Wisconsin, we just, you know, the cheesemakers just use their last name or their name for the cheese. They don't.
Yeah. They don't put it in French or anything.
No, they don't get all highfalutin. Yeah, exactly.
Well, excellent. That's just excellent, Kyle. I want to thank you for stopping by.
Delighted.
You're my man.
Well, I don't know about that, but let's.
It's nice
to be here.
I'm going
to
fax you with all my food questions while they're happening.
I'm going to. Give me a take, because I'll have to get a fax.
If I can find a fax.
I'll have to get a fax. No, I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
All right. I'll upgrade.
I mean, but I can.
I'll get AOL in. You'll hear from me.
Yeah. Nice. We'll run through the office supply store, see what we can do.
Okay, you're done now.
Good. Take these off.
Kyle Cherik, ladies and gentlemen, Wisconsin foodie. You can see him on Wisconsin Public Television and many televisions, and also talking to a chef in that other show. And
you have to
go now, though, Kyle. Come on. Come on. You did very good, but let's not take over. You got that other show where he talks to chefs while they're trying to cook. Okay. You never cook, though, huh?
A little at home.
What do you make at home, then?
I make a mean pork chop, a terrific roast chicken.
Do you stuff your pork chop?
That's personal.
He said that's personal for those of you at home. Okay. Very good. John, you're like our foodie and our drinky. But we're on the road and stuff, because like, you got a good sense of food, and you actually cook at home.
I do cook, yeah. But I don't think I'm that.
You're a gourmand, I think.
Yeah, thank you, but I don't think I am. But.
And Jeff is a gourmet.
So we're mond and met.
Mond and met now on the jazz piano and strange stringed device. Yes, so...
Smoky air.
Sorry?
Smoke room in French. It's going to be my new club. It's going to be
Schmuckus. It's Schmuckus in Yiddish.
Smoky air.
I just come back from the schmucker.
Oh, we're always smoking.
I got to wash this shirt. I was back in the schmucker there, and she was... Boy, the schmuck was coming out of it. Holy cow. So here, a little number here. This is from a theme from a TV show that you're going to play now?
I don't know where this is from.
Bewitched, was it? Or?
Yeah, this is from Bewitched
husband,
Season 5.
Which husband was it?
This was Dirk.
Okay.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Such friends, you know, probably a number. Okay, now it's a kind of aqua blue hat, and you're wearing the turquoise earring.
Yes.
And I maintain that's no accident.
It was an accident.
It was?
Hmm? It wasn't an accident.
Were you there?
Well, close enough.
I'm in between. It's not an accident.
Not an accident. So it's.
I do.
You plan your wardrobe, don't you?
Yes. I do.
Last detail?
Last detail.
Yeah.
Black shorts.
There's something I thought I'd never see again. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I love it.
Well, you should by now.
I got married to her just last October.
Last October?
Yes.
Was it on that basis?
Yeah, but I was 90 years old, too.
Yeah.
So I figure that's pretty good man there, 90.
Very nice.
I was married before that for 61 years.
Really?
To the same woman.
Yeah. There could have been 61 years to 61 women. That would have been maybe sequential.
Not that many, you know. I don't think I can make that many.
There should be a limit to how many you can have.
I'm 93. I can do that.
He more or less said he's going to dump you in a year.
What can I say? It's the way it is.
I notice you don't work on his wardrobe so much.
No, He's a free man.
Oh, God, that's nice, but what the hell am I going to do at 92?
Let's take phone calls. Let's take some phone calls and find out. All right, now, and your name is?
Shirley.
Shirley and
Bob.
Bob and
Mary.
And how are you related?
I'm,
are you related to Shirley or Bob?
I'm related to Shirley. I'm her daughter. That's why I know about the hat details and the wardrobe coordination. Yeah. It's kind of an illness.
Yeah. Bob was quite a catch.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
And he's a very funny guy. He's got great stories. Great stories.
Yeah. Wait, do we have time for a great story?
Well, I don't really. I've exhausted him, you know, in my time.
Yeah. Okay. Short one? A great short story?
What was that?
A little short story?
No, not really.
They're always very long.
Okay.
So.
Well, it's great to meet you.
Too long to get to it.
Yeah. Too long. Okay, we got something for you guys, don't we?
Yes, from picnics to patio parties, all dining is made more pleasurable with fine Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
All right. Yeah. Huh? What?
The wine's a good thought.
Thank you.
Getting better, in my opinion, all the time.
Any better? Because I live for your opinion. I want you to know that. All right. Well, it's great to have you here. And we'll see what color that wine turns your hat, you know.
Yeah.
We have a kid here, Evie Graham, Mount Vernon, Wisconsin, says kid. Evie? Yes? Evie, you want to get on the air or just, no, you had to do a card so you did it? Okay. All right. No one want to say hello to or a teacher you can suck up to? Need a little help in any of the subjects? No? Sure? All right. Let me know if you change your mind. Let's see. After living in China for 2 years, I got hooked on eating fresh fish. Why can't I buy locally caught fish here in the grocery store? Well, you know, we just happen to have Kyle sitting right here. Kyle, Bethany Wilson from Fort Atkinson was in China for 2 years. Loved the fish. Can't find it here. What should she do?
She should go back to China. We're overfishing. I don't know what else to say. We're overfishing our oceans, and we, you know, yeah.
All right, suck it up, Bethany, go back to China. There's Lacha. Oh, you know, there in Green Bay, there's that tavern that has a great fish fry, and that's fresh fish in season.
Rushing Waters trout would be terrific for her. If she can limit her desires just to trout, you know, they've got these great trout farms in Palmyra, and you can buy that fresh. Yeah.
I like the first answer better. It was brash. No, that's good. The trout is good, too, if you like trout. I like trout. And here's Mike Correll, while we're on the subject of fish. You ever caught a henway in the Madison Lake? Is that a fish or is that a bike? You ever snag a bike, Mike? Or what do you mean by that? Wait a second. I have to, excuse me, pardon me.
That's a piano, I think.
A henway?
Yeah.
Ever played a henway? Anyone here play a henway? Do you play the piano at all?
No, I don't.
You play piano?
No, I do not.
Have you ever heard of a henway?
No, Steinway.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the confusion.
No.
Okay. If I say henway to you, what do you say?
I don't know what to say.
Get out of my face is what she said. Mike Correll, are you Mike Correll? Mike, stand up here if you would. It took me a long time to get here, so make it good.
So what's your question?
No, it's your question. Have you ever... So what's your question? So have you ever caught a henway in the Madison Lake?
Yeah, that seems a straightforward question. You ever caught one?
What is it?
Well, a henway is about 2 or 3 pounds.
What did you think of that joke?
Oh, boo.
Are you the fish lady?
Yeah.
Do you know him?
No, I'd like to get to know you, though.
On that basis... Why weren't you around when I was dating? If that really got you going there. Okay, very good. Henway. Gary Meckler is here from Ohio. What happened to Wisconsin football in the Big Ten championship game against my Buckeyes? Gary, we're not talking about that yet. Where are you, Gary? We're not talking about it yet. You probably have a few games you don't talk about yet. Am I right? Okay. Respect it. We're going to play the quiz. I feel a quiz coming on. Now, the person I gave that to needs... Why don't you come over to that side over there? Yes. Because you have the four disclaimers. We have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. That means the four disclaimers. How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thank you. Good. How are you?
And you are?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Where are you from, Stephanie?
I am from Lexington, Kentucky, originally.
Lexington, Kentucky. Horse country.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Give me, you know what, you want to read the four disclaimers right now?
Sure.
Feel good about it?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
There you go. I'll do that, and I'll get out of your way.
All right. So, number one.
Go ahead,
stop. Okay, number one. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, we accept Clinton cash. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio. Its member stations are lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Have you done announcing?
I actually have. I work for NPR in college.
You did?
I did. I used to be when I was in college.
Yeah. Oh, are you in town here?
I am.
We do have an announcing opening, you know.
That's true.
I knew because she talked with a microphone not in front of her mouth.
Yeah, that's something I learned when I worked for NPR.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, that was very nicely done. Thank you. We let's see the hands of those of you. If you want to, this time you can put something in the air of your choice. This gentleman way in back there. Is that Evie's dad? Yeah. I'm going to get her to say something. Watch it. Accidentally, I'll get her to say something when I'm back there talking to her dad. Who's got the straps on his glasses? I like that. My brother Arthur used to have straps on his glasses. You're the only guy I've seen since my brother Arthur who has straps on his glasses.
Got to be prepared.
Like, do you fall off dams fishing or something or what?
Could happen.
Okay, I get you to stand up here and... How are you? You got to say something. And you are?
James Graham.
James, are you from around here or where?
Mount Vernon.
Mount Vernon. Beautiful Mount Vernon. I lived out near there one time in an old cheese factory many, many, many years ago. James, did you say?
Yes.
And give me one good reason, James, you should play this quiz.
Well, I'm here as a birthday gift from my two beautiful kids and my wife, so this will be my chance to pay them back.
This is all you got? Is that what he...
Yeah.
No.
Because he said he wanted tickets to a concert or something, so this is what I got him.
And this is the cheapest one?
I don't know. My mom found the tickets.
Good. Cheapest one.
Come on down here, James. You deserve it. And you could have been at a Billy Joel concert. Or who else plays music these days? Billy Joel or who else? Someone else, Jordan? Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones.
Seen the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Summerfest. But no. You had to get What Do You Know quiz. But you got on the quiz, though, so that's good.
Great.
Okay, James. Yeah, those. If you want to wear those, you don't have to. Or you can, but well, if you want to hear the show. Some people don't care, too.
No, I don't care.
Or we got a different show on there. If you want to. So what do you do these days, James?
I'm a real estate attorney.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, boy. Boy, that kills the conversation, huh? What do you do for kicks?
Oh,
are you athletic? Sportsman?
Chauffeur kids around to sporting events.
Really?
Yeah.
You get to see every soccer field in Wisconsin.
Right? I know many of them, basketball courts.
And then it spreads to the upper Midwest. And suddenly you're going to Indiana or, God forbid, Ohio.
No. Yeah. No, we draw the line.
Well, yeah, but after a while you can't. They redraw it after a while, you know. And go all over. What are their sports? Okay, soccer?
Soccer was, now it's basketball, volleyball.
Yeah.
They've done swimming, which is a full-time occupation.
Yeah. Is Evie, what does Evie do?
Evie's done swimming and now basketball and volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about you, Evie.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. And then, all right, so what? But you personally don't do anything?
No.
Good man. Good man. All right, so Aunt Deb calls and plays along with James to play the quiz. And explain, Mike, how that works.
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Here's a question. Pope Francis got a jersey from the Harlem Globetrotters. Probably saw that. I want to know what number is on Pope Francis's Globetrotters jersey. Okay. Let's go to the phones right now. Craig's on from Greensboro, North Carolina. Hey, Craig.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Say Michael again. I love the way Southern people say my name.
Michael?
No, that's a little Northern that time.
Michael. We'll
more like Michael. Like Michael. Here comes up.
Michael.
Michael, that's what I want to hear. No, that's not the answer, though. What's Pope Francis' Harlem Globetrotter jersey number?
I have no clue about guess number one.
No, I thought so, too, but no.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye. Tom in Red House, Virginia. Tom?
How you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
I'm good. It's getting warm.
That's good. Globetrotter jersey, the Pope Francis number?
I don't know. I know he got a jersey. Yeah. I just guess 77.
No. Okay. Daniel in Cuba, Illinois. Daniel.
Yes.
Jersey. Globetrotters, Pope Francis.
Number 90.
Number 90. Yes. Daniel. I don't know why. You, Daniel?
Yeah. Great.
I'm sorry. What?
What? I didn't hear your question. What was it?
Why is it 90? Do you know?
Is that his age?
I don't think this. Pretty good for 90 if it is.
I don't really know. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, that'll be a mystery. One of the great mysteries. Daniel, James?
Hey. How you doing, Daniel?
Good, James. How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks.
What do you do down there in Cuba, Dan?
Oh, I'm doing real good here. It's,
good.
I don't know if you ever heard of Cuba.
No. Not the one in Illinois.
Yes, yeah, it's not the country, but it is by Havana.
Habana?
Habana.
With a B, right?
No, with a H.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's in Illinois, it's with a bat. Okay, Daniel and James, you are a team right now, so you got a lot going for you. And how do they win?
They have some categories to pick. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Let's start with you, Daniel. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. From that category, we have this for you. By far, speaking of graduation and college, in case you were, by far the largest percentage of marijuana use is by one of the following. Is it A, those with no college or dropout, such as the governor? B, college grads and currently in college? Or C, retirees? Largest amount of actual marijuana use, as far as we can tell.
Huh. I would say, I don't know, James, you think it's retirees?
My guess would be college grads.
College grads?
No one for college, no college or dropout?
College dropouts or dropout sounds good.
Well, people with some college, let's say, that sounds better.
Some college?
Or no college?
Go
ahead, though. Talk among yourselves.
What do you think, James?
Well, I don't have any way to narrow them down. I'm going to guess that our retirees are not our highest percentage users, despite their...
propensity?
I was going to say glaucoma.
Oh, yeah, glaucoma, that's what it is. I'm clouding up even as we speak.
You know, retirees have nothing to do, basically.
Oh, yeah? That's a lot of pressure, if you ask me. So what's it going to be, gentlemen? In answer, A, B, or C? Just say A, B, or C.
I'd say B.
B sounds good.
Okay, it's A. So that would be?
That would be zero right and one wrong.
Okay. All right. Don't worry, you'll come back, I predict. And what's left?
The remaining categories are current events, people, places, school, and science. Sorry, I almost forgot.
James?
Better go school for Evie.
School for Evie. Goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. What is the attention span of you? I'll give you, this is kind of hard, I'll give you 10 seconds, 4 seconds, or 8 seconds, a human attention span, which has dropped by 50% in a few years. So we almost have almost no attention span.
What? 8 seconds doesn't sound too bad.
8 seconds is right. Yeah. Holy cow, way to go, Dan. What's the score now, mister?
Yes, we have one right and one wrong. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, and science.
Unless you object to that, James.
That sounds good to me.
We can call that.
Just almost as good as a goldfish.
All right, what would you like? Is it back to you?
No, I picked that.
Oh, you did. Okay. Daniel?
Science.
When need be, how do penguins melt ice? Okay. I'm not sure what the need would be, but how do they know? Do they lay on their bellies and flap their wings to generate heat? Do they poop or do they pee? I didn't know the scientific terms for those. I'm sorry.
I suppose they're going to melt ice to drink it, so wouldn't they lay on their belly and flap their wings?
I'd like to see it. I don't know. It sounds pretty cool.
Say pee on it.
You say pee on it? You don't even want to answer the question? Sure you don't want to carry that any further? Do you want to just leave it at pee?
What do you think, James?
I'm just going to say poo on it.
Poo on it? He said poo on it. Did you hear him?
It was one of those shows.
Poo on it. Okay, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
They have two on it. Oh, yeah. No, that's only two right. That's still important. Okay, here are the close time. One more question. We'll do it. What's left there?
Two right and one wrong.
Two right, one wrong.
What's left?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. People, places, current events.
Current events.
Okay, current events. Right good. Out of the news. The new species of frog discovered in Costa Rica looks exactly like what?
Kermit.
Kermit is right. Holy Kermit.
Yes, and James, you've won Sunshine in a Bottle with an All-American Mustard Girl Mustard with Jennifer Connor, the Mustard Girl of Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. And then you have your dog put on the dog with a handsome navy Stuart plaid tie-on bandana from Stellaware.com. Bring back memories of your Italian childhood with a jar of Carmella's House Marinara Sauce made with love, shared from the heart. From Carmella's Italian Bistro in Appleton, and listen to the sounds of Appalachian Spring on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with All-American Liner Notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. And Daniel, begin every morning with the What Do You Know audience way with Steep and Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and banish afternoon cares with rich and tasty Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. I don't know. We know beans about coffee. Then venerate American railroad history wearing a polo shirt from the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay. Organize bits of information the old-fashioned way by writing with a pen or pencil on a pair of Mind Bender blank study cards on a ring from Mindology. And each of you will don the new What Do You Know XXX t-shirt. Not much since 1985, and keep family and friends entertained with What Do You Know, the party game, including enthusiastic audience questions, cards, and the Not Looking a Day Over 30 Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Thanks very much.
All right, it's going, James. Good job. A lot of pressure. Appreciate it. Leave the headphones, please. Dan, hang on a second. We should get the next playing.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This
your
is
dad.
PRI,
your
Public
dad.
Radio International.
Cheering for your dad.
take this kind of
live abuse. From the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. It's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, we look for a universal town of the week. Plus, thanks for the memos, all the news that is, universal. And more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says his car has been driving itself for years, Michael Feldman.
Yeah, well, it's a Lexus. It can do what it wants. All right, did that one last week. Okay. All right. How are you? Pretty good? Good. First, we got some all the news that isn't from around here. This is actual news because the other kind didn't work. So around here, I guess the big news, world's largest nut coming to Green Bay. And no, it's not me. I know someone wrote that in, but no, it wasn't. Packer Fastener commissioned Robinson Metal to produce a hex nut large enough to display in front of Packer's new headquarters on Lombardi Avenue. The result is record-setting. the usual nuts and bolts jokes, but what? No, go ahead.
How big is it?
Oh, Packer Fastener will mount 3.5 ton, 10-foot tall hex nut. That's a big nut. It's a big nut to cover, as we used to say in the gaming business.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't say that's true. You gotta say something like you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, that's what we said all the time in the gaming business.
Gaming business.
Back when I was in it. Yeah. I was a dealer, a blackjack dealer.
Okay. Actually. Now that's too much.
That's going too far. Yeah. See, I always go too far.
You do.
Sorry about that.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Northeast corner of South Ashland Avenue, Lombardi Avenue. It will give Green Bay the title to the world's largest hex nut. So we're pretty excited about that. Okay. All right. All that. All right. No, there's more, though. Oh, the other big thing, there really hasn't been much that, you know, isn't, you know, a lot of fun. Aaron Rodgers won Celebrity Jeopardy. Yeah. Now how about Celebrity Super Bowl? That'd be nice. You got to have priorities. Okay, he won the episode, Tuesday's episode, totaling $8,399 to beat out Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary and astronaut Mark Kelly. Rogers won $50,000 for the MACC fund, his chosen charity for events, so that's a good thing. But what I didn't understand is his quote afterwards. Aaron Rodgers tweeted, had a blast on Jeopardy, checking off another bucket list item. Should have said Turd Ferguson on Final Jeopardy, though. Kyle? What does that mean?
Turd Ferguson is from the really great Saturday Night Live satire that Will Ferrell does. That's right. And he plays Alex Trebek, and then...
Oh, God, it is a good thing you're here. Now I'm rethinking the whole thing. That's from Will Ferrell on...
Yeah, right. Trebek's character, Burt Reynolds' character.
Burt Reynolds is Turd Ferguson.
Correct.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, that's all the news it is from around here. It wasn't much, but at least it wasn't harmful. I've been hanging on to this one here as far as the memos. Now, you know, each week we had actual memos from actual listeners. Who memoize. What is this? Oh, that's not it. No, that's not it. Hold on just a second. Play a little longer intro. No.
You need some help over there?
Good. No. No, that's too... okay. Well, let's do this. I don't know. Here. I've been hanging on to this for a long time because one of our staff, one of our engineers, Tom Blaine, gave this to me. But it involves his son, and I thought, well, Tom, whatever your name is, we're very close. The staff love me here, especially the engineering staff. And I said, this is, you know, your wife is going to be mad if I read this, but he's not here today. So here it goes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. Forward. Well, he gave it to me. What does he expect me to do? Yeah, no, it's all right. It's okay. I'm sure it's fine. And this is a discipline transaction that has been assigned to William Thomas Blaine, Jr. From Thomas, here we go. A disciplinary transaction has been signed to William Thomas Blaine. Further discipline details available through Family Access. If you need help accessing Family Access, you need to set up an account, please contact LG at the following address in Evansville. Okay, and here's the response, really, is the best one. Dear Mr. C, will you please have a conversation, two-way dialogue with my son, Will Blaine, about what happened in school yesterday before you assign a detention? All right. Please explore the nature of the new courses Will is taking, whether or not those courses meet his educational needs, and please follow up with a member of the teaching staff who threatened to cut apart Will's clothing with her scissors. Thank you for your attention. Signed, Laura. Okay, I thought that was cute because of the rebuttal. And the totally inappropriate behavior of a staff member, I think. But I'll give you this just to make up for it. Courtyard squirrels being relocated memo. Main campus employees might have noticed the aggressiveness of the squirrels in the outdoor courtyard between the administration and the towers. The squirrels are used to people and are likely being fed by some. So they come very close to patients and employees sitting outside or passing through the area, which is causing concern. In the interest of everyone's safety, we have contacted the Humane Animal Control Company, which will now trap the squirrels and relocate them to a distant wooded area where the patients cannot wander, apparently. You will see the traps in place the week. This is sad. What did the squirrels do? They didn't do it. A squirrel's threatening you? Come on.
They can.
What are they patients for, I wonder? This is... You will see the traps in place the week of June 9th. This will assist us helping prevent the possibility of patients or employees being harmed, as squirrels do carry diseases.
Oh.
Cliche. In addition, signs we posted along advising not to feed the squirrels. Well, they're in... trap now. It's a little ironic, I think. Thank you for your understanding. So thank you very much for that memo, and that's all we have. Unless Tom Blaine's kid gets more detention. Where can they send all the memos and the communications? And
if somebody wants to send a memo to
or
us.
Any Wisconsin news that they have.
Can send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, the subject line memos, or you can go to notmuch.com, and there's a way to post on the website.
What is that way?
I don't know. You have to go there and find out. That's the way it works.
Okay.
It's too complicated to
explain. You feel like doing something, or are you just kind of lackadaisical?
You want me to do
the
town of the
week?
Well,
that's right. It's time for that time when we honor a town, a village, a burg, somewhere across the greater U.S., and a rearranged map of the same. With our town of the week, here's Mike Arnold.
Yes, our town of the week. Well, it's located about 15 miles northeast of San Antonio, and it's called Universal City, Texas. It's in Bexar County and is known as the gateway to the famed Randolph Air Force Base. The origins of the city trace back to the three San Antonio doctors who purchased a block of farmland in 1929 in anticipation of the boom provided by the forthcoming military base.
Right.
Developer Aubrey Milner named the land Universal City in 1931 to recognize the universal importance of the coming airfield. I'm sorry. That was kind of funny. Anyway, in 1935, Pat Booker Road was completed, named in honor of Air Corps Captain Francis P.
No, Pat. Corps is nice, too. Makes it kind of cuter.
That would be something completely different, wouldn't it? Anyway, Air Corps Captain Francis P. Pat Booker. It serves as Main Street for Universal City and the road that connects the rest of Texas to the gate of Randolph Air Force Base.
Yeah.
Despite a slow growth initially, Universal City took off in the 1950s when Air Training Command officially moved to the area from Illinois. I think a lot of things could move from Illinois, don't you think? Okay, that was a joke. I'm sorry.
No.
Anyway.
I'm supposed to say those things. You just have to read copy.
The population saw a surge of officers and enlisted men flood the area. Housing developers, including Acme Lumber, quickly took notice and began working.
Is there really an Acme Lumber? I thought it was just cartoons.
No. Nope. Well, they have one there. They quickly took notice and began work on the community building. Nervous they'd be annexed by neighboring San Antonio, the town officially incorporated in 1960.
In 1962, Universal City officially constructed a city hall. Fire and police stations quickly followed, and in 1970, the city had its own recognized post office. Oh. Today, Universal City is home to one of the best public golf courses in the country, Olympia Hills. In addition to golf, residents can enjoy some local festivities with Snowfest in February, movies in the park during the summer.
Snowfest?
Yeah, Snowfest.
The snow's there?
Well, maybe they celebrate not having snow. And Veterans Parade each fall. And if the residents aren't too stuffed from last week's fire station pancake breakfast, they can enjoy several area parks. That's our town of the week, Universal City, Texas.
Randolph Air Force Base. Where were you stationed, Bob, when you were training? Yeah. All over? You ever been to Randolph? South Pacific? No, but I mean in the, when you were training here at stateside, where did you train?
I was in the Army, first of all.
Okay, first of all, you're in the Army.
I got out of that and I went to the Marine Corps.
Then you went in the Marine Corps? Did they throw you out of the Army right into the Marines? Right. I can see about your stories being long. Then you're in the Navy? You mean you served in every branch of government? What? Back to the Army. So none of them would have you. You went from the Army into the Marines, into the Navy, and the Navy back to the Army. Because you had so many skills that nobody wanted? Or why was it?
No, it was very easy.
Yeah,
some
easy.
Some guy in Washington just used a paint pencil. That was me.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that doesn't answer that question. But you were never at Randolph Air Force Base in Texas?
What's that?
Randolph in Texas, the base?
Base?
Yeah. No.
Never been to Texas.
Never been to Texas. Okay, well, thank you. All right, that's all I want to know. Universal City, Texas. John DePiro's on the line with us from Universal City. Let's say hello to him and find out a little more about it. And hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How's yourself?
Doing all right. I just wanted to clarify for everybody that we take all the trap squirrels that everybody gets. We take them in.
For target practice, right?
Well, we eat them, you know.
So oh, you eat them. Okay. There's not much meat once they got all that buckshot in them, is there?
Yeah, but, you know, they make the, you know, they nice little hats, you know, with the little tail.
Yeah.
We were famous for that down here.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't see there's something you didn't cover in your description of Universal City. John, are you associated with the Air Force Base or what down there?
Well, I'm a retired Air Force guy, and I spent some time stationed at Randolph. As a matter of fact, my father was also Army Air Corps Air Force, and back in the 30s, he actually went through training at Randolph Field.
There you go.
So we've got a great connection to it. Like, you know, Universal City is essentially attached to Randolph. That's how Universal City came to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, you keep in mind it's about 15, 20 minutes outside of San Antonio. So, you know, the city itself is a neat little town. We're about between 18,000 and 19,000 people now.
It's big now.
Yeah, it's getting pretty big.
Yeah.
And a lot of growth and all that kind of stuff. And I volunteer with the city. I work on our Industrial Development Corporation to help make sure we're doing all the right things, keep the city moving in the right direction.
And are we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's really neat. We're getting some good growth. You know, a lot of people struggle, small towns struggle with trying to figure out if they want to be just a little bedroom community for a bigger community.
Yeah.
But we also want Universal City not to just be tied to Randolph, because that's not good for the future, depending on what the government decides to do.
Yeah, the base.
Yeah, and so you want to make sure that your city can survive for itself. And so, pardon my dog barking.
Oh, your dog sounds like mine. What kind of dog is it?
Yeah, it's a little mutt, but we rescued him, and he just caught a squirrel. So he's
he just caught one? He shouldn't talk with his mouth full, doesn't he know
it? Yeah, that's it. So he's talking with his mouth full. So I'm trying to teach him not to do that. He won't listen.
But, so in the Air Force, John, were you a flyer?
Yeah, I was a flyer. Yeah. I flew choppers. I flew jets. You know, they let me fly, so I stayed in for a little while.
Yeah,
enjoyed doing that.
It'd be hard to fly a chopper, though. Isn't it? I mean, how do you? Isn't it? It's different.
Yeah, only a very few very intelligent people can fly helicopters.
So that's not true, because my brother-in-law can fly one.
I walked into that one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean,
well,
you got
to. No, it's not hard. It's you know, it's like anything. You know, you train somebody to do something, and if they can do it over and over again.
So, like, you're saying, like, monkeys and typewriters?
Yeah, and bananas and things like that.
But, I mean, you know, there's flying, and it's like a whole different technology in terms of a helicopter, right? Don't you have to unlearn some of the things you learned about flying a plane?
Yeah, that is actually true, because the control systems are a little bit different. And when the thing that becomes normal in a fixed-wing aircraft, you have to do kind of backwards in a helicopter. But, you know, it's like anything. Do it a while, and then you can finally figure it out. You got two choices, figure it out or die. So,
yeah.
You know.
Could I have those again, please? Do you still fly, John, at all? Or?
No, I don't. That's an expensive hobby, and you know, something that I don't do. But you know, it's like riding a bike. You know, if I can get back in one and figure it out, give me a couple of minutes, we can figure it out again. It's a lot of fun.
Don't they give you a plane when you graduate from the Air Force?
Well, unfortunately, they put them on sticks and put them out in front of buildings. You know, so
the engines are
out of them, and
or they put them in that desert somewhere.
Out in Arizona.
Yeah. What do they do? Can a guy, like, can you go there? Can you buy one of those?
Well, actually, there's some ways. Yeah, there are actually ways of going about doing that, and people do refurbish some of them and fly them. So, but that's an expensive hobby, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you gotta want to do that.
Yeah. Did you fly like fighters and stuff like that?
I flew the T-38, which is a high performance jet trainer. It's like a fighter, but it's not. You know, you train the guys that are gonna be fighter pilots in the T-38.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What do you do? Now you work for the city these days, and you're kind of in charge of...
I volunteer with the city, but I work for a financial services company here in San Antonio. It's home-based in San Antonio.
Yeah. What do you recommend, John?
Buy low, sell high.
My father always did the opposite, and I shouldn't have... You know, I'm my father's son, and you know? buy high and sell low, you know.
I know. I can get into that trap myself occasionally.
Yeah,
but I, you know, I'm not trying to advertise for it, but it's USAA, United Services Automobile Association.
Oh.
A lot of veterans do business with us. We got about 10 million members. But the reason I bring it up is it started in San Antonio back in the
20s. Oh, yeah.
And the home office is in San Antonio, and I do veteran outreach initiatives and stuff like that for them.
Very cool. John, we're coming down to Universal City, let's say, hypothetically, and you're going to show us some of the high points that maybe you wouldn't get to see if you're just, you know, driving through town.
Right. I would take you down to the old section that's actually right near the railroad tracks before you get to Randolph Air Force Base. Keeping in mind that Universal City actually kind of exists because of Randolph Air Force Base.
Right.
You know, they talk about Mr. Milner naming it Universal City for Universal people coming down here for training, but Universal Studios actually shot The West Point of the Air about Randolph here back in the 30s.
And that's how it got the name?
Well, there's discussion about that. That's another potential way that it might have gotten its name, but you know, Mr. Milner kind of gets the credit for it, but they had a little community that they called Universal City, you know, because it was where all the people stayed that were doing the movie.
Yeah.
And so
they were Universalists, like Methodists or something.
Could have been. You know, who knows? They like squirrels, I know that.
I got to ask you, just this whole thing with squirrels that you got now, are you a squirrel hunter, or what is your thing with squirrels?
No, you brought it up first.
I know, but it always comes back to squirrels with you.
No, I'm just having fun.
Okay, good.
I would take you down to the older part of town.
Okay,
and
what's there?
Well, not... Okay, as far as historical stuff, not a lot, to be honest with you. But the streets are named like Lindbergh Road and Wright Road, named after aviation people.
Okay.
And so there's actually, you know, you'll laugh at this, but there's an old Quonset hut that's still Randolph Field Cleaners. And that place still exists today, and it's been there forever. And, you know, the Quonset hut's still there, but obviously they've upgraded the insides. But it's kind of neat to take a look at.
Yeah.
We've got
a Quonset hut that used to be a cleaner. Is that where you're taking us?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
Then we'll go down the street and we'll go to Leon's Mexican restaurant.
All right.
Because Leon's has been there forever.
Yeah.
But the real, once you cross the tracks, you go into the main gate of Randolph Air Force Base.
Okay.
Then you're going to see kind of what is the big draw to Universal City. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on in the community for the people that live here and the guests that come to visit. But when you once you see Randolph Air Force Base, you can go. It's one of the most beautiful and picturesque military installations in the United States.
Yeah, and can you go in? I mean, will they let you in there, or do you have to be a military?
You got to get visitor passes, and you know it's harder now ever since 9/11.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot harder to get in any military installations, and now that people start worrying about terrorism attacks, it gets a little tougher.
Yeah.
But you can still get in. Yeah. But it takes a little extra work. But once you get in, you know, it's kind of a neat facility that they kept the look and feel of the structures and how the base was built back in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept that design, you know, stucco, tile roof, stuff like that for all the facilities on the installation.
Yeah. Can you go into the PX and buy stuff?
I can.
Well, that's good for you, John. But, you know, we're down here. So far, you showed us a Quonset hut.
Well, hey,
and we got
in
the Air Force Base, but we can't use the PX.
Oh, no, you can't do that. But there's all kinds of shopping in the local area, restaurants, places to stay. The golf course, one of the nicest public courses. I heard you mention that already, one of the nicest public courses in the United States. Mm-hmm. My house actually sits on a hill. I bought this property back in the 90s and built a house out here.
Yeah.
And then 2 years later, they built the golf course. And if you sit upstairs in my up on the hill and look out the window, you can see the fifth green down there. So
you're on the fifth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, not bad.
If you like balls coming through your window, it's ideal, I would think.
Well, that's not a problem from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
If the guy's that bad... We're all in trouble. You know, the ball hits this house. You guys are in trouble.
All right, and then for nightlife, now we've had a wonderful day. The base was great. And nightlife in Universal City, Texas.
There's a few spots out here. You know, like I said, restaurants. There's a couple of nice sports bars, things like that.
Yeah.
As far as a large venues or anything like that, no. This is more of a community-type area. If you're looking for those types of things, you know, you want to go to the... You go to San Antonio downtown for some of that stuff. But we still have a lot of restaurants out here that are more family-oriented.
Yeah.
And then small, you know, clubs, but nothing big.
Okay. All right. Well, sounds like a great time. And we can certainly come to your door.
Anytime. You're sending me some cheese. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
How did you know that?
Hey, I talked to your producer. Come on.
Okay. Now we got to do it, though. Okay. John, you know what? For being so nice and you were, we have a little cheese for you.
Hey, I'm appreciative. Thank you so much.
Mike?
Yes, we'll be sending you the best of the Badger State in an assortment of handcrafted artisanal cheese. Made without unnatural ingredients of any sort. From Cedar Grove Cheese in Plain, Wisconsin.
Sounds great.
Sounds great.
Thanks, John. Very nice talking with you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yeah, take care, John. Okay, and let's see now. Oh, I dropped him. Should I have kept him? Oh, you'll get him back. What? Were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't.
You're going to close off that whole bit and say?
Oh, I have to close off the bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What do you say at the end of your bit?
The end.
The end.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, that's it.
And then
that's all there
so
is.
So that was our town of the week. Now, we should choose a town of the week for next time out.
I believe we should. Yeah.
How does that work then?
Well, we need to get somebody from the audience to throw the dart, right?
Okay.
And this microphone is not plugged in or anything. So.
Is it working? Oh, no, there's no battery in it.
It's the other one.
Here. Yeah. Jeff,
okay.
Could you...
So we'll get a microphone.
He can't leave his base alone to bring it down there, you know. So.
Yeah.
But, John, you want to get
some?
Yeah,
John can do the dart. John, you can do the dart. John Tulin. Oh, okay.
No,
I'll
John, pick someone out there. You do this.
What's to throw the dart? What's to throw a dart?
Somebody who can get up very quickly.
You guys want to throw
a dart?
It's really easy. It takes 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Come on.
Yeah, come
here,
on. Okay, here it comes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Looks like Evie's brother. What's Evie's brother's name? Find out, will you?
And we'll find out who it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully this microphone's working.
Their family has dominated our show.
All right. What's
totally
your name?
Zeno Graham.
Zeno?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With an X?
No, with a Z.
With a Z.
With
okay.
a Z.
Yeah.
Zeno. That's a great name.
Cool.
That's a great name. So
have you thrown a dart before?
Yeah.
You're a dart thrower.
No, but I've thrown a dart.
Okay. I guess that's what I asked.
All right.
Any place that's not Texas would be good because we got Texas.
Yeah, aim in the direction of this and just
this
go crazy.
Town of the week.
All right.
Oh.
Thank you.
It?
Let's see here. It looks like we wound up getting Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. So a round of applause for Lock Haven, Pennsylvania.
Here.
And Zeno, hold on just a minute. We have a gift for you. Wait, stop. Okay, we have a gift.
Here, Uncle John's Did You Know bathroom reader for kids only. Enjoy this, because I know it's
round of applause for Zeno.
Trouble getting in there. You want to stay for a while. Okay, thanks very much. That's our talent of the week, and we got thank you very much for that, too. Now, this little number here is should be familiar to everybody.
Probably not, because I wrote it. And
oh. Should be familiar to your neighbors, at least.
Yeah, oh, I'm very familiar to my neighbors. And yeah. I hope they're not listening, because they're probably sick of it. So.
Okay.
It's called Johnny's Junket.
Johnny's Junket. That's Johnny. Here it is.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Actually, this brings up an interesting question. A lot of people say, you know, Jeff, those solos are great. How do you know what things to hit in a solo, like different chords? I understand that. But is it arbitrary each time? Is it different each time?
Yeah, ideally, it should be.
Ideally, it's just the best possible answer, I think. So that's, if you kids out there, just don't randomly do a bass solo. Think about what it should go with, you know, C7 and G7. And then mix it up. You got to go to a little different thing, right? Nice song, by the way, John. That was your song. Huh? Very nice. Very nice. Why in our great-grandparents' time, Cheryl writes, did only poor people practice nose-to-tail eating? I find it very uncomfortable to eat that way, personally. But and now only rich people eat those parts. Cheryl, what are you thinking here exactly? Cheryl, where is Cheryl? Hi, Cheryl. Okay, I'm gonna excuse me again. I don't mean to make you. Okay, here we go. I'm down here again. Is this in this? Oh, there she. Okay, okay. I thought she might have moved since we talked last. I guess you just stand up here and step on him if you have to. But
how are you?
Yeah.
Well, I just remember when I was a kid and my grandpa telling me that the cupwurst had tails and lips in it. Pig
the
lip.
What wurst?
The cupwurst.
Cupwurst.
No one else is a little German here. Yeah.
Little German.
Yeah. So when I was a little kid, that's what he told us, that it had the lips and the tails in. And then last year we were in Carmel and we went to this, you know, French restaurant. And we had the sweetbreads and we had a under the table pate de foie gras. That's illegal in California. Yeah. And so that
get under the table and eat it.
And we paid a fortune for that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was my question.
And before it used to be in the cupwurst.
It would be in the cupwurst with who knows what else.
Cupwurst like a knackwurst or a head cheese.
It's a loose, it's not like a bratwurst where it's in one piece, it just kind of falls apart on your plate.
What are you supposed to do with that?
I ate it.
Yeah, no. You scramble it with eggs or something like that?
Crackers.
You scramble it with crackers?
You put it on crackers.
So it's like a pate.
Yeah.
And even that, they'll charge you an arm and a leg for it.
No, that was cheap.
Today.
They made it, oh yeah, today they do. But they made it themselves out in the shed.
And you don't want to go out there when you're doing it.
No.
That,
like they say, you don't want to watch the sausage making.
No. Because see how the knock goes into knockwurst. You don't want to see that. That can be very painful. And so your point is that?
Why?
Thank you very much for raising that question. We'll see what people have to say about it.
Thank you.
I agree with you totally. Why? Simply put, thank you, Cheryl, for bringing that to our attention. Different kinds of wurst. We have a German family, people here, grew up and eating every part, nose to tail, is that what they called it?
Nose to tail.
Did you live on a farm?
Yes, I did.
Where was the farm?
Loganville.
Loganville.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin here?
Yeah.
Is that the one, where is that near, Plain?
It is near Plain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where we got our puppy out there. We saved him from those sausage plants. In Loganville. Really? A small world. You could have been knockwurst. Are you thinking about what you said earlier?
No, not at all.
Care to retract your joke?
I was either that or updog, and I chose Henway, so I'm sticking with it.
Okay. All right, fine. The fishing thing and Henway. Mary Vance from Middleton, formerly Kickapoo Valley. Oh, I know, Kickapoo Valley. We were talking about the Kickapoo Valley. Where's Mary Vance? How are you? Did you know about this place in the Kickapoo?
Yes.
Oh, let's find out your reactions to it, because did you eat nose to tail in the Kickapoo?
Yes. Yes, you did.
You did? Good. Okay, this is good. And now we're getting continuity. I love it when we accidentally get continuity in the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Who are you here with? Are these all Vances?
No, this is a Broker and a Jensen, a Gitchell and a Jensen. We were roommates 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, where?
Here in Madison when we all came from our little hometowns. I came from the Kickapoo Valley, Viroqua, and she came from Edgerton.
Were you all in the same program?
No.
What was your major?
I went to MATC in business and She was in cosmetology.
Well, what, you were in cosmetology?
I was,
did
yes.
You stick with it?
I did.
Yeah?
Yep.
Good but living?
Well, so-so.
Yeah. And then
I said never marry a beautician, but he got stuck with me for 47 years now, so I guess.
Yes, but he has lovely eyebrows and lashes. Is that.
Says there's no trade-in value, so we're stuck with each other.
Nose to tail for the both of you, I guess. And then what was your major?
Dental assisting.
Yeah, so that's a good thing.
It was for a while, yep. Yeah.
Very good. And now tell us about the Kickapoo.
Well, I grew up in a little burg outside of Viroqua, halfway between Brush Hollow and Avalanche on a farm. And when
between Brush Hollow and Avalanche?
Correct.
That's pretty cool.
I went to those two country schools when I was a kid. When my parents butchered, like beef, my mother would boil the tongue and then skin it and then grind it so we'd have tongue and head cheese.
Ground
and
tongue.
Ground tongue.
People eat the whole tongue, you know.
So it's good.
You know, smoke a tongue, you know, it's disgusting.
Oh,
if
yeah.
You're a kid, and you know, it looks like a giant tongue. You know, there's no way of disguising. This is a tongue, and have a slice.
But see, in those days, when you live like that, you got used to seeing those kinds of things, and today's kids wouldn't. And of course, my mother used to have to divide in from the chickens the liver, the heart, and the gizzard. So we all got a little piece of it.
What part did you get?
A third of the gizzard, a third of the liver, and a third of the heart.
Because there was three of you?
Correct.
You're lucky there wasn't any more. There'd be nothing to look at.
That's exactly right.
Did you have a favorite part? Did you prefer the gizzard? To
the liver.
Yeah, liver is actually.
I love chicken livers.
Chicken liver you can't beat. Okay. And so, okay, and that was, we had a farm out there?
Yes, down in the Kickapoo Valley, right on the river.
People that he mentioned. Who were the people out down there?
Right. They make that, they order it from elsewhere, but it's packaged in a little plant in Viroqua, the town where I went to high school. I was just up there this week and wanted to buy some, but we didn't have time to stop where they sold it, so.
Yeah. Is the old farm still there?
The land is there, but they don't farm it, and there's a home there.
And Mary Vance?
Correct.
And you're?
Darlene Getchow.
Darlene and?
Elaine Jensen.
And you're having this like a big weekend where you're just kicking up your heels?
Exactly. It's a little reunion.
Have you been doing any carousing?
We caroused at the end of March down to New Orleans.
You did all. Talk about carousing. Perfect.
We had a great time.
Yeah, were you on the street a lot there? On the
most of the time.
Yeah. Back and forth. I went there with my brothers. Three older brothers. You know. Who are no fun whatsoever, but we did walk up and down the street and drink, and that was cool.
Then we went to Memphis.
Yeah. Well, let's give you something so you can whoop up it here while you're in town.
Yes, you can add warmth to a chilly spring day with award-winning Rhines Domaine Dussac and Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, you got to give them three, though. Three bottles, because she only gets a third of anything. Thank you. Thank you. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming here. Okay, we're going to play the quiz again, aren't we?
Yes.
Is that about time?
I think that's a good idea.
I don't want you to blow that horn again. Really.
See, I'm conditioning you. This is working.
Yes.
This is my evil plan.
Okay. So we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. You saw how it worked the first time. That could happen again, or it could work this time. So if that interests you. Now, there's this gentleman here. Now, yeah, because, no, yes, come on now. I don't usually pick someone for the quiz. But you wanted to be on, didn't you?
She wanted me to be on.
Well, that's the same thing, isn't it?
I suppose so.
Stand up here just a minute. Let's find out why she wants you to be on and why it's meaningful to her. How are you?
I'm good.
And you are?
I'm Paul.
Oh, and where are you from, Paul?
I'm from England. Devon.
In Devonshire.
I'm actually from Plymouth, which I see on the corner there.
Plymouth is on our map?
On the postcard.
Oh. Well.
But I don't think it's the Plymouth I'm from.
Yeah, okay. And Paul, what brings you here?
I live in New York, and I work in fashion.
You're in fashion. What end of fashion are you on?
I'm on the end where you're on the photo shoot. Art direction.
Okay, cool. Give me one good reason, Paul, you should play this quiz.
Because Michelle wants me to play the quiz.
Excellent reason. You know Michelle. She gets what she wants. Have a seat, Paul. So art direction must be pretty easy. You just tell people what to do, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Very easy.
Yeah. Do you ever just do things randomly without telling them the senseless things?
I've had my moments of being senseless.
Yeah. Do you push the envelope on some of those shoots?
Yeah.
You do? How do you do that in a fashion shoot?
As in?
I mean, do you hang them from copters or something and fly by and shoot them or make them?
Shoot them. Yeah.
Yeah, your models.
Yeah.
Because I've seen some of these modeling shows where they do the strangest thing. They put them up on volcanoes and things.
Yeah, it's not that crazy. No. Not what I've been doing anyway.
No. It's in New York?
Yeah, mainly. Yeah. Although I'm here for Land's End in Dodgeville at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, so you're working for them, doing some work for
them? Yes.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And and back in England, did you do this back in England too?
Yes, I lived in London for a while.
Yeah. And where were you trained?
In a small college in Cornwall. Yeah. So even further down the bottom of the country.
Yeah. And that was in fashion design or?
Graphic design.
Graphic design.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. And so how do you find our country?
I love it.
Okay. Well, you've lived here long enough, right?
8 years.
Get the hang of it now. Okay. All right, Paul, well, it's great to have you here, and it sounds like an interesting job you got there. And we have various people. Look, they're dying to get on here now. Huh?
Just in case there's somebody.
Where were they earlier?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
If people want to play the quiz.
I was going to say that.
Oh, sorry.
How
would they do that?
Yeah.
Well, they'd pick up their phone and they would dial.
If they want to go nose to tail on the Whatdya Know quiz,
they'd pick up the phone and they'd dial. Actually, I don't know if people dial anymore. Does anybody dial anymore?
Nobody dials.
Anyway, whatever. They do something. They touch. They would touch.
Punch in the numbers.
They would punch. That's too violent. 800-942-5.
Don't you have a phone? Well, you've got one.
Yeah, I have a phone. 800.
Where are you from? Somewhere east of Cornwall? What is there? Nothing.
West of Cornwall. 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK with a K. Now. That's the number.
Are you saying it that slow so you can understand it?
Yes, I believe I am. Okay. And they could answer this qualifying question. So what's that qualifying question, Michael?
Just all right, that's enough. You're done now. Okay, if you are the first known warm-blooded fish, you are a what? This fish has made the news everywhere. Very round, big round fish. Kind of a cool-looking fish. But it's the first known warm-blooded fish. If you are that, what are you then? So that would be the name of this particular fish. First known warm-blooded species of fish. Okay. Bruno's on the line from Memphis. Hey, Bruno.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What up?
Not too much, really. I'm just disappointed to find out that I have no idea the answer to the question you just asked.
Yeah. Well, there must be something we can do to help you here. You got a newspaper handy there? Or?
I'm actually driving right now, so that'd probably be a bad idea.
Yeah. Can you drive into a newsstand or something? Or?
Well, if I keep up, I might just do that.
But, yeah, okay.
Can you give me a hint?
Where are you going, Bruno?
I'm going to the airport. I got to fly to Baltimore, Maryland today.
Why are you doing that?
For business. I got to be up. I got to take two planes, Memphis to Atlanta, Atlanta to Baltimore. You got to still get pulled out of Memphis. It's not a hub anymore, so no matter where you go, you got to go through Atlanta now. You live in the Memphis area.
That's just backwards, Bruno.
You ain't lying. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Tell the world. Delta Airlines. Delta. Duh. Everything leaves through Atlanta.
Yeah. Crazy. Memphis used to be a big hub, didn't it? They had FedEx.
It was a huge hub. That's where I met you in the Memphis airport one time.
You did?
You and Jim, when he was still with us, were over at the gate. You were flying to, we all flew to Milwaukee together.
We did?
Yeah, and that's when I met you in person. You were in town doing the show in Memphis.
Yeah.
Downtown Memphis.
Was I very engaging or not?
Oh, you were very friendly and polite.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, bro. All right, first warm-blooded fish, though. Might have seen this on Oprah.
No, I don't watch Oprah. Lord,
or maybe at a Greek restaurant, you know.
Oh.
Or they always are shouting something at a Greek restaurant. I forget what.
Oprah.
All right. How did you do that, Bruno? Oh, go ahead. Well, you're driving in a car and you got to catch a plane, and this is going to be it's not a good thing. Are you okay to do this while driving and all the tension?
Oh, absolutely. As long as I don't have to text anything, I'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we are. Bruno, this is Paul.
Hi, Bruno.
Hey, Paul.
He's a fashion, graphic arts, fashion art photographer, designer.
Or maybe just an art director.
Or an art director, for short. An AD.
All right, well, very good. Nice to meet you. Let's have a good time.
Okay. Let's have a good time. Two of you work together. You are a team. We have various categories, don't we, Mike?
Yes, we do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Bruno, you want to pick first category? What would you like?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends it is. Okay. Are there seasons on the sun? Talk it over.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say no.
We have an on. We have I know. I have no idea, and we have just a no.
Let's go with a no.
Okay. Well, you're both wrong because it's yes. There are seasons on the sun. It gets there are two seasons. Pretty darn warm and hot enough for you.
Well, do you know? Yes was my second guess.
Yeah. I know. Okay. But for now, we'll have to call that wrong, I guess.
Yes, that would be zero right and one wrong.
No, because of the solar flares, they are seasonal or something. I don't know.
Remaining categories are seasons. Remaining categories are current.
I don't know. It's not a science or art. It's public radio. Come on.
Remaining categories are current events, people, places, school, and science.
It's your turn, my friend. You pick it.
Paul?
School.
School, okay. Besides art and all that in school, what did you like to do?
I wasn't good at anything else.
No? No? Didn't like reading or?
A bit. Movies? I was terrible at maths.
Yeah?
Movies, yeah.
Math was bad?
Maths. If there was a question on movies, we'd be pretty good, I think.
Yeah, okay. Cool. You say school, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, the worst font to use on resumes. You should learn this in school, if nothing else. Worst font to use in resumes is Comic Sans, Gaudi, or Times New Roman?
Comic Sans.
That would be the worst, but wasn't one of the real answers, though. But can we accept that?
Sure, yeah.
Bruno, what do you want to weigh in on this?
Say it again.
I'll say that he sounds a hell of a lot more intelligent than I am. So
yeah, you would use Comic Sans.
It's all a facade.
Times New Roman is bad, too, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, but Comic Sans. Who can argue with that? Don't do it, kid.
Okay, so that's one right and one wrong, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and science.
You got to find some way of doing this where you don't sound so perplexed each time.
Yeah. Well, that's just how I am. That's what you get.
All right, back to Bruno.
Why don't we go with current events?
Okay, current events. The mystery radio signal at the Parkes Observatory Radio Telescope in Australia was traced to what? For years, in fact, for 17 or 20 years, they've been trying to find this mysterious signal, microwave signal, in their dish. They finally discovered what it was there at Parkes in Australia.
Wasn't that something had something to do with somebody's dental work or dental implant, something like that, or am I way off?
You're way off.
Well, there was something like that I heard on some other show. Wait.
Shh.
Could it be microwaves?
What's that?
You're saying it was actually a microwave there at the place they've been tracking for 17 years and thought it was a new quasar or something? Lollapalooza?
It's an idea.
Galaxy?
All right, I'll go with that.
Yes, it was their microwave for 17 years. It lasted a long time. Oh, that's the good thing about it.
That's two right and one wrong.
Okay.
Remaining categories are people, places, and science.
People, places, and science.
People.
People is kind of survey results. A lot of them are British, actually. I've got a British one here. Yes. Here we go.
Probably won't know it.
Among British people, what ratio, we're looking for a ratio here, like a one in so many, okay? What ratio would consider social media behavior grounds for divorce? Those would be couples who say this. Social media misbehavior, let's say, are grounds for divorce in Britain. Is it 1 in 100, 1 in 20, or 1 in 7?
I'm going to defer to my partner there since he's obviously more qualified to answer a British question.
Very slick of you, Bruno.
1 in 7?
1 in 7 is right! Holy cow!
And yes, Paul, you won, so you can conquer your next beverage with Das Horn, a 24-ounce hollow tusk made without slaying any endangered animals. It comes complete with a neck strap and display stand from Das Horn. You can drink out of it, basically. Bruno, learn the backstory of three decades on the ground floor of Small Talk Radio in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can relive the wonderful experience of getting customer service over the phone with Tech Support, the fast-paced, easy card game from Kenser & Company, and tickle your ears with mazurkas, preludes, waltzes, and nocturnes on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin, with consumptive-free liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Well, thank you. Have a good time.
Hands across the ocean, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, Bruno, hang on there. And we'll just talk to you a little more while you're driving.